Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Petrified Podcast. I'm your host, Damian Martinez, here with my co-host,
Eric Lauver.
Thank y'all so much for tuning in. If the audio sounds a little bit different, we are recording in a different area today, and hopefully, very soon, we'll be back to...
Studio's moving,
so... But today, we are talking about Frankenstein. In light of the new movie that's coming out by Guillermo del Toro, doing Frankenstein, we're going to talk about the old one, which clearly inspired him to pursue pretty much cinema and how he's taken it and done his thing. But seeing the new one, it looks pretty good, man. I'm excited that they're going to actually go based on the novel. Obviously, there's been other movies that have gone based on the novel, but this one looks pretty like...
It looks pretty like accurate to, you know, Shelley's original story.
Yeah, so. Dude, it looks really, really good. So I can't wait to see what this one has. But the old one, of course, the original with Boris Karloff, and just the grainy footage. it still looks pretty good. I think the best movie from that time would probably be Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, yeah, Creature was great. Like, the underwater scenes, all that, you know, like the National Geographic filmmakers who were, you know, shooting underwater. They had some great footage in that one.
Yeah, but this one, of course, would be the makeup and prosthetics with, you know, the monster itself, which I liked. What was cool was at the beginning, they have, like, the cast, obviously the role of the whole cast and crew and who it's directed and produced by. But for the monster, it's like ...
Yeah.
So you don't know who it is. And then at the end, when the whole movie's done,
then they tell you it was Boris Karloff.
Yeah, who would have like, what, 10 movies?
Oh, at least.
Yeah. Did he do the Abbott and Costello one?
Yeah.
He did do that one?
Yeah. I actually watched that one last week. Like, not even knowing that we were going to like review this one, but yeah.
Yeah, that one was...
Abbott and Costello met everybody. They met the mummy. They never met the creature.
But they did the mummy. They did Dracula.
Dracula.
They did...
Frankenstein.
Who else did they do? Weren't they on Scooby-Doo, too?
Yeah, they had...
I feel like it was a cartoon. Yeah. The old...
That might have been Laurel and Hardy. I think Laurel and Hardy did Scooby-Doo.
Because I know somebody was on Scooby-Doo as well.
Yeah, I think it was Laurel and Hardy on Scooby-Doo.
But this one, man, of course, classic. Universal Monsters, the Hammer films and all that. This one was... It's always good to watch them. The makeup and prosthetics that they used... For the amount of, like, rolling around that he's doing and, like, the very, like, I guess, quote-unquote, action scenes where he's, like, fighting with Henry Frankenstein... none of it comes off.
Yeah.
Like, it stuck pretty good, man. Like, what's crazy is, like, I've been watching The Munsters, weird enough. But you could tell, like, he's trying to stay still so, like, prosthetics don't fall off and stuff like that. Whereas in the movie with actual Frankenstein, it's like, I don't know. It's just, it looks really, really well done. Everything, even when you first see the monster, of course, you have to have the dead eyes and the menacing look and the, I don't know, man, the prosthetics, I don't know what they're using back then, I know what they're using, stuff that you can't use now. It's like stuff that gives you cancer.
The Wizard of Oz painted you silver? Yeah.
But yeah, man, this movie, it's always good to look back on all the old classic ones.
Well, the crazy part is like the person who actually did the makeup was Jack P. Pierce, and the design that he actually created is under contract until January 1st, 2026. And it's like copyrighted.
So for that long.
So think about it. Like, it's barely coming up for renewal like next year. And that might be why, you know, Del Toro is doing it at this, you know, at this junction, because obviously, you know, that's going to come up, you know, that you can use everything. I mean, it's already filmed, but you know, I thought that was kind of crazy that, you know, that far back. I mean, this movie was made in 1931. And it's not coming, like, the makeup and, you know, prosthetics are not coming up for copyright infringement until, like, 2026.
That's crazy. The actual design is actually copyrighted.
Yeah, it's 95 years. I mean, that's a long copyright.
So that means any portrayal that's been done, it has to pay.
Yeah, it has to pay, you know, royalties and homage, definitely.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so.
And they can't screw it up, because I know people were talking about the Twisted Childhood stuff, you know, after the license went up on that. Everybody started making horror movies out of him. Well, he's already a horror icon. So yeah. Well, unless they do like a drama or romance.
Well, the weird part was when they originally filmed it, they meant it to be like a gothic movie. They deemed it, they had like a whole subgenre. It's called gothic. And so that's what they wanted, but it came out horror. So they just threw it underneath the blanket of horror, and Universal just went with it.
Yeah, because if you watch the movie, there's nothing really horrific about it besides, you know, a man playing God or trying to play God. But yeah. In the movie, the play, it's very far from the book, besides the character, not even the characters, because you have Henry Frankenstein, not Victor.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that's different from the book than there is from the actual screenplay. That's crazy, the whole copyright thing. I mean, yeah, but like the whole gothic thing, I think it would have been better because, yeah, the movie is very, I don't know, it's lighter horror.
Yeah.
As opposed to like Dracula, where, of course, it's a monster or anything like that.
Well, it's crazy too because like you look at the movie and like if you were to call it a monster, really technically, you know, Victor or, you know, in this case, obviously, you know, Frederick, they were more of the monster than the actual supposed pseudo monster itself.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he wanted to be God. He wanted to play God. And, you know, Universal kind of ran with that because Invisible Man kind of has the same.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Invisible Man, which, you know, we may touch on later, but it had the same kind of storyline. It was a person trying to play God, trying to, like, you know, manipulate, you know, the human body.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. I think it would have been way better as portrayed gothic. Kind of was, but it was kind of more on the horror side.
Yeah.
If you're watching it now, just the way they portray the monster, how they portrayed him like an actual like infant and the actual stages of him learning and all that, then maybe. But yeah, or maybe did some different things. I mean, I think if later on, maybe Tim Burton would have gotten hold of it and... I think he would have done a pretty good job.
Hey, he did do Frankenweenie. I mean,
oh yeah, Frankenweenie is different though. Dish. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. But for that I mean, he has that gothic touch. So yeah. Who knows? Maybe
totally like bring out some like Victorian garb and all that.
Do a musical out of it.
Oh, there you go. I don't know about that. I don't think we're gonna see too many musicals after Joker Part 2.
But. What was crazy is, like, in the movie, you have Fitz, the Igor-type character in the movie who helps him make the monster. Dude, the fire use in this movie, like, there's no safety regulations, just whatever. Just do whatever with the fire, you know, charge at the monster with the fire. It was just, like, crazy. One thing I noticed in it too was the original, the original one. That one was like same thing. Like you just lit somebody on fire and just hope that they went out. Just like put a bunch of padding on them.
Put padding and just douse them with alcohol, like rubbing alcohol. It's like a, you know, like a Motley Crue show. Just
dude, yeah.
Light them on fire and just put them on stage.
Yeah, and like the torches, the amount of torches they're, and I mean, I'm assuming they're filming in a studio. They're not filming, like. On location anywhere, but like the amount of smoke you would, you know, set off, and it was just crazy.
There's no fear of carbon monoxide. Come on now.
Yeah, the way they filmed back then, man, was different, dude. It was so different. It was so crazy that, yeah, I don't know. It's just seeing all that crazy, the old stuff that how they used to film was.
Well, that's like if you like look into it and you actually like I did some homework on the backstory and they were actually saying, you know, about the costumes and stuff. So those boots that Boris Karloff wears in the movie, they actually weigh like they're asphalt boots. People used to like wear them to lay asphalt. So each boot weighs 13 pounds. So think every full step he takes is like 26 pounds of drag. Just it was really crazy. Like, I mean, like,
dude, yeah.
Safety regulations, you know, to hell. Like, who cares, Mr. Karloff? You don't have any kneecaps anymore. Like, you know.
Yeah, that's, oh, dude, that's crazy, man. Oh, dude, oh my God, the work you have to put in for every scene that you're in. And maybe that's why there wasn't that many scenes with them until the end.
Yeah.
Because, like, the whole climbing the mountain and...
But can you imagine how hard that would be, like, when they're doing the scene, obviously, like, when he's with little Maria down by the banks of, like, the river?
Like, oh, yeah.
You know, that's mud. That's wet earth right there. You're sliding around with, like, 26 pounds worth of boots on. That's not counting...
And then you're tossing a little girl into the water.
Yeah. So, I mean, gosh, like, imagine, like, trying to keep your balance and, you know, stability in that situation.
Dude.
Yeah.
One thing that got me in the movie, so there's the scene where he tosses the little girl in the water, speaking of that, and then the father, like, carries her into town, and automatically everybody knows that it was the monster.
Yeah.
When nobody even knew about it.
Hey, things happen.
I mean, I know that the friend came in and said and told Henry that it had been spotted, but, like, nobody else knew about it. They were all celebrating the wedding. They're having fun outside. And then immediately when he's, like, carrying the girl, everybody's like, oh, yeah, that was the monster.
It's a damn monster.
It's like, how do y'all know it's the monster?
Well, that was like us, you know, us regaling, kind of like, you know, talking about our memories of Frankenstein before we started recording. And you were like, oh, you know, you're talking about the differences in your memories compared to the movie on film.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I was saying, I remember it being much longer.
Yeah.
And it's only like an hour and 10 minutes or something. And I'm just like, wow, this is like really quick.
It's maybe like... Yeah, maybe under an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. But, like, half of it is, like, credits, of course. So, yeah, yeah. It's about, like, yeah, an hour 8 minutes. Yeah, for me, it did feel different. Of course, I hadn't seen this in such a long time. Film-wise, I'm more of a Dracula. I love the vampire stuff, whereas book-wise, Frankenstein was always my favorite. But, yeah, it seems so different. And maybe because there were so many movies of Frankenstein...
Yeah, it kind of made like a collage in your head of like all these different bits and pieces from, you know, multiple different movies.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, it seemed different. It felt different. And it felt weird, too. that whole go get the monster scene. Like, you don't know. You just see a guy. At first, I'll be asking questions like, who did it? Like, what happened?
But they were on point, too, man. They had pitchforks and torches. They had it lined up.
But the father didn't even know who it was.
Doesn't matter.
Because remember, he left to town, left his daughter there like a good parent. And
hey, you used to have to do things back then, you know? Got to make choices.
Well, remember what he said. I'm going to go into town for the party, I'm assuming. So, like, yeah, I'm going to go get wasted and leave you here. No babysitter. Play with these daisies.
You didn't need babysitters back then. You just told the kid, go back inside. It'd be all right.
That's true. Yeah,
don't you go down by the river till like 4 o'clock. Play with some flowers till like 4:12.
And don't drown.
Yeah, be back inside by 4:30. Yeah.
That always thought that was weird is that the father didn't even know who killed his daughter. But he immediately knew it was the monster.
Yeah.
I didn't see it happen, but I know it was him.
Yeah, you know. They must have sent out flyers, like, you know.
Maybe I missed something. I don't know. Maybe I looked over something in the movie because no one ever knew it was a monster except for the people involved in making and witnessing the making of it. I don't know. Maybe I'm looking over something. I don't know. But I do love this movie.
Well, it's a classic. It's all
time. It's a classic, yeah.
I mean, you know, you don't have to go in-depth for everything to make sense. It's, you know.
That's true.
There's a lot of things that obviously are going to be left out. It wasn't really accurate, you know, with Shelley's story to begin with. You know, like, obviously, you see it on film, you see it on celluloid, and he comes off, he's almost like, when they redid it with color, he came out green. But you can kind of tell he's kind of like a soupy brown in this one, like a grayish brown, yeah. like a ruddy gray. And, you know, in the book, and I think that's something, you know, just seeing the little snippets, you know, from Del Toro's film, it comes off a little bit more historically accurate because... In Shelley's book, she says that he basically has almost like old people's skin, like translucent.
Yeah, it's very translucent because they were dead people.
Yeah, they were dead. Dug up. Like they're, you know, the melanin has, you know, gone out of the system. They're just, you know, very thin layers of skin. Yeah. You can see the blood flowing.
I think a more accurate depiction of Frankenstein would be in Van Helsing with Hugh Jackman. He's very gray, bluish skin. Yeah, of course it's more, you know, I guess, you know, kind of like liberty. It's Hollywood liberties that they took, you know, to make it look more sci-fi-ish or fantasy-ish. But other than that, I think that's probably the most accurate one, you know, with a cool little heart, like with the electricity in it and the bolts and stuff like that. His brain having electricity in it, showing that that's how he, you know, was born pretty much. How he
that's
came
the
to
other
life.
Thing. It's supposed to be like transistors or diodes in his neck, not bolts. But they just, you know, that's just what they used. I guess that's what, you know, they randomly had laying around the shop. No pun intended. And that'll, you know.
Like hooking up a car battery.
Yeah, exactly. Clean off the little diodes, hook it on.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, yeah, like, I mean, I love the portrayal of, because, I mean, of course, you don't know. What's great about the movie adaptations of books is you can finally kind of put, you know, of course, you know, you use your imagination. You see characters, scenery, stuff differently, and everybody's head is different. But when somebody puts it on camera and actually brings the scene to life, then you can be like, oh, that's what it would have looked like. Or I don't know if it would have looked like that. But when you have like clear depictions of stuff, I think it's, yeah.
I think that's, you know, that's a blessing and a curse, because basically you get to relay the book on film. But a lot of times a lot of liberties get taken, and people who didn't read the book or read the original story assume that that's how it is.
True.
It's, you know, it's a two-side, you know, cuts both ways.
I guess kind of like with Dracula. I mean, Bela Lugosi kind of set the standard of what he should look like.
Yeah.
And he was very close to it. His kind of, the way he looked was kind of close to it. But I think that was the standard from here on out.
Well, that's kind of funny that, you know, you brought up Lugosi, because Lugosi was actually slated to play the monster. Before they signed Karloff on. And it was kind of like weird, because they actually did like a test reel, and literally they did like 10 minutes of footage on a test reel, and it's never been seen ever again. Yeah. There's one poster left that has like a visage of Lugosi, and it sold to some private collector for like $600,000.
Oh, we got to see that. I want to see what it looks like. It's going to be like when Jean-Claude Van Damme was trying to play the Predator.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But yeah, it's like literally, I can't imagine Bela Lugosi. I mean,
he can't.
He was so small in stature. I can't picture him being like a believable monster with, you know, with those 13-pound boots and just a lumbering menace. I just, you know, I love Lugosi. I love all of his films, but I cannot picture him pulling that off.
Yeah. I couldn't see it. Yeah.
But you know who he was still, you know who was supposed to be like the starlet in the movie, though? Like his bride? It was supposed to be Bette Davis.
Really?
So it's like, yeah, Bette Davis and Frippin' Bela Lugosi. So it's weird that, like, it got Karloff, and then it just turned into, you know, like, oh, little Maria and, you know, the monster. And it just, you know, I think they definitely developed the character more when you got the bride. I think the bride definitely landed.
Yeah, the bride, yeah, helped kind of build that character.
It helped solidify. I think if this would have been, like, a standalone feature without, you know, the films that obviously came later, I don't really think it would have gone over as well.
No.
But yeah, they came out promptly with the bride like a couple years later. And
yeah, well, also you have the Mummy too, which also solidified him as being typecast as this brooding monster.
Yeah.
Which helped, and again, is a curse too, as we saw with Bela Lugosi too, when he played Dracula, he was just typecast as this, you know, foreign. I mean, you had a white zombie and stuff like that, but
he was always like the Count.
Yeah.
He was always the Count in everything that he did. He didn't really break free from that until, like, unfortunately, later in life, you know, as, you know, he waned, he got older, and then, you know, he was living in obscurity, and then Ed Wood came along with his, you know, gorilla films and just, you know, and I'm not saying gorilla like the primate, like gorilla films.
Gorilla films, yeah.
Yeah, gorilla filmmaking and just these weird stories, and he really, you know, he really gave Lugosi a second wind.
Yeah.
And then, you know, unfortunately, we lost him.
But. Yeah. Yeah, but with Boris Karloff, I mean, I don't think you could find anybody else to play that kind of brooding character and a very immature character, I guess you could say, because he wasn't developing the brain as well.
Yeah.
And what was weird, too, is when they were stealing the brains, the one was abnormal and one was normal, and he steals the abnormal brain, the criminal's brain. And he was a murderer or...
Yeah, I'll just, you know, when you say something like that, I just all automatically get the Young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
You know, where'd you steal it from? Marty Feldman's greatest line in the whole movie. Where'd you steal it? From Abby. Abby who? Abby Normal. It's like, yeah. Yep.
But that's what makes that one great, though, is the little, you know, the
oh, yeah. little puns. All the little, you know, I mean, it's Mel Brooks, for God's sake.
True.
So, yeah. You know. If anybody can bring comedy to anything on earth, it's obviously Mel Brooks.
That's the best one, though.
Spaceballs 2, coming soon.
What was it, the Search for More Money?
Yeah, the Search for More Money.
It's coming out, man. They're making it. Yeah, man. I'm so glad that they're doing a new monster. Well, not new monsters, but new takes on these monsters. I feel like it's having a resurgence now. I think we're starting to get out of the whole possession and kind of the, I would say, the poltergeist spirit era. You know, I was hoping that we're coming to the end with The Conjuring and stuff, but they're filming a new Insidious. They're doing another Annabelle. So we're kind of on the way out. Not saying those are bad films, but I think I'm just kind of getting tired of that stuff.
Yeah, it's been like dominating the market for 10 plus years.
So to see like these, especially with slashers too, with like Terrifier and stuff, like Terrifier just came out, or when Terrifier first came out, it was like, okay, here we got a new slasher, new crazy person, and the gore is like turned up to 11. And then you have like Nosferatu, and you're like, okay, so we got some creatures coming out. We got the way it was done was amazing. And then you had Sinners with the vampires, and I'm like, now we're getting somewhere, so...
The only thing, obviously, that I felt disappointed by, and I'm sure Lon Chaney Jr.
Yeah, here we go.
We'll chime in on that one, was the fact that Wolfman was...
If Wolfman was made kind of like, I don't know, because Nosferatu is very gothic to be a Wolfman kind of movie.
Yeah, like, but you can still portray it in like a gothic manner that, you know.
True, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you can show like the plague of man, you know, basically that has this affliction where every full moon, you know. I mean, even Monster Squad pulled off that Wolfman better than this flipping movie that just came out this year. Sorry, I hate to be, you know, I hate to grab the whipping boy and go back at it, but you know, talking about, you know, the original monsters, the monsters, you know, our forefathers grew up with. It was like, it was so much better relayed on film than what they brought out.
Yeah, and especially with the times, too, the times. Of course, now we're not as, like, I think we're, like, I don't know. I think we're just turned off to a bunch of, like, horrific stuff that it takes a lot for us to be scared. Whereas back then... People were very, you know...
Oh, yeah, well, people had just, you know, I mean, people gathered around fires. They didn't have, you know, I mean, people had radio in the beginning, and then they had television, and then, you know, it, so on and so forth. Now everything's at our fingertips.
Yeah.
They used to have to sit around and listen to grandma's tales, and, yeah, you know, grandma had, like, 27 stories of El Cucuy or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's what you would listen to.
Yeah, and then you'd watch these movies where... Now, you know, maybe you show it to a kid and it's like, that's not scary. But back then, you know, that was like the scariest thing to see
on TV.
You know, Frankenstein, a monster, or Dracula or something like that. It's like the scariest thing that you could watch. And it was very, like, you know, frowned upon to watch horror movies back then. Like, if you watched that, that was...
Yeah, you didn't even really tell ghost stories and tales like that. I mean, that was like, it was like taboo. That's what was so fun and invigorating about it. Even in modern times, you know... Kids don't typically go see horror movies. When they do, it's like, ooh, it's taboo. I'm not supposed to be seeing this.
Yeah, I think Terrifier kind of brought that back with the amount of gore Damien Leone put in Terrifier, especially with 3 coming out. When 3 came out, that was like the...
Well, there was no whole bar.
Yeah, he over-the-topped with that one. That was great.
Blew up the kids. I mean,
that one, and that one's for some reason turned off a lot of people. I don't know why.
I have no clue.
But yeah, man, it's great. I'm so glad that he's doing that Guillermo del Toro's doing a Frankenstein, which he's talked about in multiple interviews in the past about Frankenstein and about the movie itself. And now he's actually making it, and it looks amazing. Comes out at the end of this month, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah, it comes out on the 27th, if I'm not
which
mistaken.
Which is perfect in time for Halloween.
Yeah.
Get your spooks on it. So if you're not trick-or-treating or if you feel like you're too old to trick-or-treat, go check out that movie, man. That's like perfect, like,
oh, yeah.
Halloween combination right there. That's it's going to be exciting to see. I mean, it looks really good. It looks very somewhat accurate to the novel, and I can't wait to check it out, man. It's going to look great. And we will watch Black Phone 2 because I know we announced last week that we were going to watch it. Unfortunately, some stuff came up. Couldn't go see it, but we'll see it very soon. It looks like it has some pretty good reviews.
Oh, yeah. It's got great reviews.
So I can't wait to see what that looks like.
Yeah.
See? Because the first one was wild. It was just a wild.
I've heard the second one's even better than the first one, which I don't know.
We'll see.
We're going to have to wait and see, but
yeah. You know.
Getting good reviews all the way across the board.
There's a lot of good stuff that came out. Welcome to Derry.
Yeah, Welcome to Derry came out.
There was the Shelby Oaks.
Shelby Oaks.
Shelby Oaks, I think that's what it's called. Had just came out. Two other movies that just came out. I can't remember them, but there's a lot of good stuff that just came out, and I really can't.
That and the fact that everybody, I mean, just open, you know, just open a browser, like everybody's playing old pieces, you know, here in Lubbock, Cactus Theater is playing Young Frankenstein.
I am actually very surprised that we are actually going to show the new Frankenstein at our local Allenwood Draft House. It's very rare we get something like that coming
Regal's
through.
Regal's playing all the monsters this week here in Lubbock. If you're, you know, if you're a local, they're playing, you know, everything. The Creature in 3D. They're playing Lugosi's Dracula. They're playing Karloff as, you know, obviously, you know, Frankenstein's monster. Lon Chaney Jr. is a Wolfman. They're all going to be at the Regal here in our local mall this week. So, yeah. Everybody's really stepping it up this year, which I'm like really super happy
excited
about.
For, yeah. Yeah. Because the people live in the bigger cities, they already have it good.
Yeah.
Y'all have it good. If you're listening and you live in a giant metropolis,
yeah.
You already get the good movies. We don't get them here.
Population 1 million. Yeah. You guys, you know. You guys definitely get, you know, you're spoiled a little bit.
But just a little bit.
Yeah.
Get all the good stuff. We get the scraps at the end.
Yeah. If we even get that, you know, it's a lot of mail order DVDs. And,
unfortunately. Yeah. But, yeah, man, we'll see how that movie goes. We'll see how it is. I'm excited for it. I mean, he makes amazing movies as it is.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm not going to, I'm going there with big expectations already, but I also know I'm not going to be disappointed when I walk out, so. I say that, and I hope when we record again.
I honestly don't think I've ever been upset by any of his movies.
No.
Like The Shape of Water, even years ago when I saw The Devil's Backbone.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't disappoint. He always comes correct.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, Hellboy, too. I mean, Hellboy. Yeah. I'm excited, so.
And hopefully Eggers steps it up and releases his Wolfman to vindicate.
What is the werewolf, right? Yeah, that one's going to be great. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he went to go see a screening of The Wolfman. He's like, I can do this way better. And that's no offense to the director. It's just the story writer, you know, the writers had a lot to play with, and they just didn't use the source material. You know, you can't redesign the wheel. You can only make it better. And unfortunately, you Firestoned it. So...
blow out at 80 on the screen. Just, yeah.
But, yeah, hopefully Robert Eggers, man, it should be good, dude. It should be really good. Depending on what style of werewolf he's going for.
Yeah.
What type of lichen he's going to do.
Well, he's got deep pockets. I mean, he's going to come correct, you know.
Yeah, so I'm excited for it, man. There's a lot of good stuff coming out. But, yeah, guys, that's our episode. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you go watch Frankenstein, tell us what you thought about it. And we will... of course, get back to it when we record another episode after we've seen it. And hopefully we get to see Black Phone 2 very soon. Other than that, guys, thank y'all so much for listening. Please follow us on Instagram. I want to start posting more on there.
Throw us a like.
Sorry, I've been kind of...
We're transitioning.
Yeah, we're transitioning right now, studios and stuff like that. So I'm doing a big move right now. So it's been kind of hard to stay on top of Instagram. But follow us on there. I'm going to start posting more stuff, especially since... Spirit Halloween has been kind of reaching into my wallet.
I have steered clear. I've got to say this. I have steered clear of Spirit Halloween for like the entire month.
We just went to Browse, and that didn't work out very well. I mean, we did better. I will say that. We did better this time. We didn't splurge. I think last time we spent a little over.
A little too much.
A little too much.
We had a budget on that one.
But this one, we stayed within budget. We were good. We didn't have to take out a loan this time. No, I'm just lying.
We didn't have to, go over to the Wells Fargo and apply for a line of financing.
Yeah. No, but yeah. I'll start posting more on Instagram. But thank y'all so much, guys, for the support. We will see y'all
next week.